The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
A week to go before the start of training camp in Bourbonnais for the Bears. Good evening, hello, and welcome. Bears All Access rolls on. Zach Zaidman pleased to be joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer, as well as former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. Guys, let's get right to it. Tom, you got a week to go before camp. Take me through what it's like to be a player getting ready for another season.
You know, well, for the fans, it's the most anticipated week of their life in sports because of the start of football season. In the player's life, it's the most miserable week in the life of a player leading up to training camp because nothing about training camp is fun. Your fate is decided at the end of training camp. Your health is jeopardized every single day. The commitment of the young guys behind you fighting for your position should be hungrier like never before. So there's a lot of complex feelings that goes into the start of training camp. And, you know, so, you know, it is a weird week leading up to it.
Jim, I heard Tom Brady say that it's a necessary evil. If you want to go through the process, you have to begin, obviously, with training camp and go through all the things that you have to go through. As a quarterback, take me through the mentality, not just of Jay Cutler heading into this camp with a week to go, but all the guys vying for the backup roles underneath him.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think it is a necessary evil. You got to stress your bodies. Granted, they're not stressed out in the modern day NFL like they were in the past in terms of the practice regimen, but in terms of going through all the possibilities, red zone, short yardage, goal line, your regular base offense, three wides, four wides, empty, all the blitzes you're going to see, the timing, the rhythm of the passing game, the run meshes in the run game, the blocking assignments, getting guys caught up to speed, bringing along younger players that you expect to participate and be a factor and big contributors of your team. And you can get a lot of work done. And there's a lot of communication, and it's just football 24/7. So it's great. You know, I'm like Tom. I was always anxious. I was excited. Went to camp with very few. You see guys bring TVs. I didn't bring anything. I had a Dob kit, and that's it. They give me my grays, and they give me a T-shirt. That's enough for me. And go out and work on all the things you need to do with your teammates, which is the goal, is to be a world champion.
You know, Jim, I think a lot of these young guys, they come in, and they have higher expectations of them because of the OTAs. They've been able to go in the classroom and get a feel of the playbook for weeks at end. And so now they have an understanding of where they should be, because mental errors will get you cut. Physical errors are going to get you coached. I say it all the time, but do you think there's more pressure on the first and second tier group year guys coming in because their exposure to the system throughout OTAs?
Well, yeah, I think everybody knows now, at least, again, with the modern day NFL, your first round draft, probably your first, second, and third round picks should all be contributors. You know, and if not, you know, major contributors. You know, you look at, think of even six rounders like Alfred Morris and what he did for the Washington Redskins. You see these guys get more opportunities. So I think, like you said, you got to see where they end at the end of camp, because they've had the first rookie minicamp, then they have the OTAs, finished with the minicamp. Now this will be their fourth time going through all the scenarios of the defense to see if they're up to speed. And they're going to have, you know, they're going to know by the end of training camp, hey, is this guy going to be a major contributor? Because I think it'll all be there, and there's plenty of it for them to evaluate to know if a guy's going to be a major contributor.
The biggest thing that I think you learn, you know, you guys being former players watching these guys, fans who come down to Bourbonnais to watch the Bears, the biggest thing you're going to learn is what happens in the trenches, because it's the first time that the pads come on and you really get an idea of what an offensive lineman is like, what a defensive lineman is like, with the tools that they need in order to succeed. That's when we found out a year ago that Kai Long and Jordan Mills were going to be real contributors to the football team. And then this year, you look at the defensive side of the ball, they're expecting big things from Ego Ferguson, their second-round pick, Will Sutton, the third-round pick out of Arizona State. But for the first time, because the pads come on this offseason during training camp, you're going to learn about these guys.
You're going to learn a lot about it, because the offense is going to be a step ahead of the defense, and usually it's the other way around. With defense experience, it comes to gel a little bit faster. Now you're going to have some young guys that are going to be facing some offensive linemen that they've never played against before. They've never faced a group of offensive linemen that they'll face every day in practice. And you don't have the luxury of going threes against threes. They go ones against one. So if you're a young guy, and you have the luxury of getting a rep with your other number one teammates, you're going against the first team. And they play at a fast level. So they are going to really be challenged in training camp as much as they will be in the preseason games. But initially, they have to make sure that they believe that they can instill that confidence within themselves, that they feel that they are on the right field.
The Bears this offseason brought in a martial arts specialist by the name of Joe Kim to work on the hand punches that these players use on the interior. And I was talking with Stephen Paya earlier this offseason, and he mentioned that in the past, that defensive line, it was a coordinated rush. They just worried about what they were doing. Now, under Paul Pasqualoni, the new defensive line coach, the Bears D-line spending a lot more time studying what an offensive lineman, the guys that they're going to end up facing, what they're doing with their hands. Have you seen these differences so far?
Yeah, I watching Coach P put his defensive lineman through the drills, it's an explosive portion of the field. Not necessarily an assignment tied in with how the whole defensive lineman flows. It's making sure you have proper snap count anticipation, you explode through the offensive lineman in front of you, and then you become disruptive in the backfield. And that's what they need to do, is they need to get a defensive line that has such explosion upfield that they do become, you know, you don't allow your opponent to have a really solid running game. But then you have to use the assets of a guy like Jared Allen, because you know what destruction he can do when he gets off the ball the way he does.
Double-digit sacks for Jared Allen in each of the last seven seasons. If he continues that, the Bears will be markedly better on their defensive line. Zach Sabin, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Jim, I was looking at the numbers, and I wanted to see what veteran quarterbacks have done under Mark Trestman in year two. And I looked at his years in San Francisco. Steve Young had a 92 passer rating his first year under Trestman. In year two, when he was coached by Trestman, he had a 97 passer rating. Then I went to Oakland. Rich Gannon was a veteran late in his career. Year one with Gannon and Trestman, 95 rating. Year two, a 97 rating. And then even Anthony Calvillo, a guy who was at the tail end of his career when he got when he started getting coached up by Trestman, even his numbers improved in year two. Jay Cutler is coming off an 89 passer rating, his career high. What do you expect in year two, considering everything around Cutler is back from a year ago?
Yeah, I relate this offense. I think it could make the leap like what Denver did. And actually, Tom and I talked about that last week. Look at the number of where the Denver's offense was year one under Peyton Manning. You know, the number of plays that they ran, they were right around 28 points a game. Then they jumped last year two in the system, to 37. They were the top scoring offense in the National Football League. And that's what I expect the Bears to do. All the weapons are back. I think if you were to go through the offense man for man, I would give the Bears the edge in terms of the skill position players and what they can do. So I expect great things in year two for this offense. And Jay Cutler, I expect his game to go to another level. So he still hasn't reached the ceiling of what he can do in the National Football League, and probably we're going to get a good sense of it here in 2014.
The Bears offense was one of the best offenses in football a year ago, but when we come back, where do the Bears have to get better offensively? And we all know about the defensive problems that the Bears had last season. Some of the moves that have been made to fix those errors, we'll find out from Tom what he's looking for, especially at the linebacker position. Spent a lot of time talking up front, but boy, a lot of questions about the Bears linebacking court. That's next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. See the Chicago Bears gear up for the first time at Soldier Field this year. Tickets on sale now for the 2014 Chicago Bears Meyer Family Fest, presented by Chase on Saturday, August 2nd. Visit ChicagoBears.com to get tickets. The Bears head to Bourbonnais. Day one of training camp is a week from today. Usually they end up doing that conditioning drill that that Mark Trestman likes to start camp with, and then a couple of days where they practice without the pads on, and then they put the pads on, and then it gets real out in Bourbonnais.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
It's real every day. You can't fool yourself. The conditioning test matters. If you want to go out there and say, I want to get an indication of what this guy's been doing the 6 weeks where he's been on his own. Is he dedicated to coming in here to be a competitive professional from day one, every single drill, every single day? You get an understanding of that from the conditioning test. And every time that you go through a drill in training camp, it's going to be videoed, so you never have the luxury of just floundering through a period. So it all matters from the very first day you get to training camp. But then again, when you do put on full pads and the collision concludes the play rather than Mark Trestman's whistle, there's a whole different feeling and the way that progresses.
And Jim, Trestman says that conditioning test that he likes to run is a bonding experience for the team, because basically what happens is you're not competing against everybody on the squad. You're competing against your position group, and there's certain numbers that you have to hit if you're a quarterback, if you're a running back, so on and so forth. And I'm just looking at Jim and thinking about Jim's physique back in the day when he was a starting quarterback for the Bears. I'm thinking you would have been nervous before the conditioning test.
I always used to be in great shape till I had all these foot injuries. was in one of the better conditioned guys. But I think you're right. I mean, it sends a message to not only the front office, to all your teammates. Hey, I've been working hard. I've been doing my due diligence. This is important to me. And you want to make a good showing that you're prepared for the task at hand, and everybody else around you has the confidence and trust in you that you've, prepared yourself accordingly. So I think that's important, that you're always sending that message to your teammates. And again, it just reaffirms that you can count on me. I'll be here. The conditioning test is not some final exam that you can just cram for. It means you've been doing the work since the spring when the off-season conditioning program started, and it's cultivated all the way up to the start of training camp. And if anything, a lot of guys say, oh, I'm going to take my last vacation. I was the opposite. I cranked it up before training camp. There was no time off. It was time to say, hey, we're getting ready for the next six-month grind. And if anything, I cranked it up towards the end of summer. I didn't accelerate, not decelerate, so to speak.
And when you went through the conditioning test, it was just making sure they ate it through your allotted time. It wasn't like you were racing the guy next to you and I had to be faster than Hilgi or something. That wasn't going to do it. If you had 75 seconds to complete a shuttle, take all 75 seconds. So then you have that recovery time and you're not over pushing yourself. So that's what it's about. It is about completing it. Like Jim says, it's an indication what you've been doing the last 6 weeks. Have you just been laying around, or boy, have you been putting some personal effort into a sport that you're going to go out there and it's going to be so competitive from day one to the end of the season.
Hey, speaking of competitive guys, there's been a lot of talk this offseason that the Bears may have the best receiving core in the NFL, at least with the starting tandem of Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. A, is that true? B, does it matter? And considering that the Bears were second in the NFL in points scored, you look at it and you say, boy, that's pretty good. But where do they have to get better?
Yeah, well, and this is where, again, Tom and I'll go back to the comparison with Denver's offense year one to year two of Peyton Manning. Obviously, record-setting a year ago. They lost the Super Bowl, but look at how high-flying it was. Man for man, are you taking Brandon Marshall over Demaryius Thomas? Yes. You are. You're taking Alshon Jeffrey over Emmanuel Sanders? Yes, you are. Are you taking Martellus Bennett over Julius Thomas at Denver? Yes, you are. Are you taking the Bears O-line over the Denver's offensive line? Yes, you are, because it's better. Are you taking Matt Forte over Monte Ball? Yes, you are. He's a three-down player. Monte Ball is not. Now, physically, you're taking Jay Cutler over Peyton Manning. Mentally, Peyton's probably got the edge. So, yeah, I'm excited. Where the difference is with the Bears in Denver is that third wide receiver. You're going to take Wes Welker over Marquise Wilson. That's where the Bears need somebody to step up. I don't know if it's Morgan. I don't know if it's Wilson. I've heard great things of the offseason of Wilson, but that's what's missing. They need somebody to emerge as a third wideout in the Bears offense, and I'm excited for that competition come training camp.
Jim, you think the wide receivers run the Bears offense? Is it something where the wide receivers have to play great for Martellus Bennett, Matt Forte, Marquise Wilson, the rest of the supporting cast to get their touches in there? Or do you think it's the other way around? If the supporting cast plays to the ability they have, it increases the opportunity of big plays for Brandon and Alshon. Where do you go? Receivers first or what?
It's interesting because on my SiriusXM show today, I had John Pollard of Stats Solutions. The number one personnel grouping in the National Football League is three wides. Over 17,000 plays were run from three wide receivers. Then you've got 12 personnel, which is one back, two tight ends. Then comes regular, which is 21 personnel, two backs, one running back. So three wide receivers is featured, and every team is trying to feature it. But for most teams who don't have a third wide, they may stay in more regular. They may stay in more 21 personnel. And that may be the Bears' best personnel grouping until they find a third wide receiver. But I think that's the one. The slot receiver position has to declare itself, and we'll see if Marquise Wilson is up for the challenge.
You know, I'm real interested in seeing what the healthy receiving core in Atlanta does, because Julio Jones and Roddy White, you can make a case that those guys are the best receiving tandem.
No tight end there. Tony Gonzalez retires, and that was a big part of the underneath inspiration of that offense.
See, there's a lot that goes into deciding what makes guys the best in the NFL. When we come back, your opportunity to ask Tom, and if you do a good job with it, you can win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So line them up. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access. In our next segment, we go rapid fire. Your phone calls, questions for Tom Thayer, anything in the world of football is A-OK with us. And Judge Jim Miller will be sitting on the sidelines taking notes on your questions. At the end of the 10-minute segment, Jim will announce who the best caller of the segment was, and that caller will win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. 312-644-6767, the phone number. Your chance to interact with Tom Thayer next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. And I'm told that this week on Inside the Bears, Anthony Adams drops in at Brian Urlacher's house, which is always interesting, you know, because Urlacher, very physically fit, double A, and I'm sure he'll acknowledge it, maybe not as much as Urlacher.
So you're telling me there's a cookout going on.
Right.
Oh, it's dinner time, he's dropping it. Gotcha.
Tom's buddy Jeff Joniak visits with the entire starting offensive line. Brandon Marshall.
Jeff's
detailed
birthday today.
Is it really?
Yeah, Jeff's birthday. Happy birthday, Jeff Joniak.
Yeah, so feel free on Twitter to send him happy birthday wishes. I'm sure he'll appreciate You just announced that on a massive radio station and the World Wide Web. Brandon Marshall details how his dream of opening a fitness facility became a reality. Saturday, 6 p.m. on My 50 Chicago, and Sunday, 10:35 on Fox Chicago. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. The reason I bring it up, it's because it's time to play Ask Tom. We go rapid fire, your phone calls, questions about football for former Bear Tom Thayer. Former Bear Jim Miller is the judge. He's taking notes while you ask your questions. At the end of the segment, Jim will pick a winner. Best question of the segment, that caller gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Ready, guys?
Ready.
Let's begin the festivities in Vernon Hills. Matt, Ask Tom.
Hi, guys. I agree, and I think it's clear that the Bears have debatably the best wide receiver core in the league. But I think that the only thing potentially holding them back is having a true burner downfield in Percy Harvin, Deshaun Jackson mode. So my question is, do you agree, or is that not necessary in Trestman's scheme?
You know, I think it's like if you had the perfect Wes Welker. If Wes Welker showed up at your camp this year, you'd be content with having a guy like that with his durability and his shiftiness inside. But then if we are blessed with a guy that has a blazing speed like Marquise Wilson and can stretch things and make catches inside traffic, because Jay did throw him a ball in the Green Bay game last year, knew he was going to get hit, held on to it. So, you know, that gives you a little bit of food for thought. So if you could get that guy that had speed that everybody fears, that's the guy I would like to try to go with.
He's not a burner, but Phil Emery has called him a long-legged strider. What does that mean for people who
Well, again, you know, look at the comparison. You got Wes Welker, who's 5'7", 5'8"-ish, and then you got Marquise Wilson, who's 6'3", and he runs long. It's hard. If he gets a stride on you and he gets some type of coverage guy that has a slow hip swivel, Marquise is gone.
312-644-6767, the phone number to play Ask Tom. Oak Park, Jeff, you're on Bears All Access.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Hey, Jeff.
Okay.
I think he brought his own sound effects to the game.
Call back, Oak Park, Jeff.
Yeah, we'll see if how Jim rates that when all said and done. Scott in Milwaukee, Ask Tom.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you doing? I'm a Bears fan living in Milwaukee. First of all, my question for you, do you think at this point in Jay Cutler's career, he has, ability to stare down one receiver? Do you think that Trestman can kind of break him of that? You know, he tries to force it to his buddy, you know, Brandon Marshall. And last year, he barely even threw to the tight end, you know, Bennett. Do you think he'll be able to break him of that habit?
Yeah, I think that's what Coach Trestman and Matt Cavanaugh and Aaron Cromer and all the offensive coaches can do is break all the offensive players of their bad habits. But it's about Jay digesting the information of the offense. And the better he gets to know it, the more receivers, the more players he's going to be able to incorporate. Because I know if you ask Jay, if he gets more out of his supporting cast, it's only going to make the offense better and more explosive and give him more opportunities to Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. But it's like Zach mentioned, it's knowledge in the system. Let Jay be in this system 2 years in a row with the same coaching, and then give him an evaluation of numbers.
312-644-6767. Ask Tom rolls on with Ronnie in Sacramento, who's on Bears All Access.
Hi, guys. My question is actually about the defense, and I know the Bears have added personnel on the line, the linebackers and the secondary, but I was wondering which part should we expect the most improvement from? Thank you.
I think we have to have the most improvement from the safety position because you still have Charles Tillman and Tim Jennings, our Pro Bowl caliber cornerbacks, and you have Lance Briggs and DJ Williams experience at the linebacker position, and you need some talent to cultivate on the other side. And then you have Jared Allen, Jeremiah Ratliff on the defensive line. But if you need improvement from an area of a team that the division includes Calvin Johnson and Aaron Rodgers, I think the safety position has to get solidified and have that where you have faith in that position to really be what you need that position to be because you saw what happened in the outcome of the last game.
And we don't know who the safeties are going to be.
Right.
Ryan Mundy gets first crack, so does Brock Vereen, but they brought in Adrian Wilson to compete with Mundy at strong safety, and then you have M.D. Jennings, the former Packer, competing with Vereen, and Chris Conte could be back before all is said and done if his shoulder
heals
properly.
And you got Craig Stelt still out there, you know, running around and making plays when he gets the opportunity.
312-644-6767, the phone number here for Ask Tom. Here's what's on the line. A gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Jim Miller. Donnell, Southside, you're on Bears All Access.
Gentlemen.
Hey, Donnell.
How you doing, sir? Quick question. What do you think is the biggest contributing factor to Jay's improvement? Was it the style being changed of the way he plays, or was it the system that Trestman installed that was the contributing factor? Thanks, guys.
It's kind of a little bit of both. It's a style that Coach Trestman is teaching him, and that's what I always kind of say, and Jim knows it better than anybody. If the head coach who's teaching you the system knows the system better than you, you're going to learn everything there is to know about it. And Coach Trestman has a style of teaching his system to Jay and these offensive players, and you saw the way they're able to capitalize on it last year. And like we've already mentioned, we have big expectations for Jay and the whole offense.
One last contestant here on Ask Tom with a gift certificate to Sports Authority on the line. We go to the South Loop. Jim, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show. Love listening to you guys talk. On NFL Network's top 100 players this year, I noticed that Matt Stafford made the list again, and Jay Cutler was left off, which I completely understand, but I was talking about it with a couple guys, and through discussion, I commonly hear that Matt Stafford is referred to a top 10 quarterback, and Jay Cutler, people don't want to make that jump with him yet, and I don't understand. And if you go back and you look at Stafford's numbers, you know, through 2012, he hadn't even did a team with a winning record yet. He's never defeated Aaron Rodgers, never won a division title, never played in a conference title game, yada, yada, yada. These are all things that Jay Cutler has done, and yet I commonly hear him left out of the top 10 conversation, and Stafford is pushed in there, and I'm trying to figure out why that is, and maybe you guys can shed some light on that for me.
Calvin Johnson. And that's how, you know, if you have a quarterback that, you know, Stafford has a strong arm and he's a big guy and he's a pleasant character that gets along well with his teammates. But if you have a receiver that is not demanding but can catch the ball anywhere above anything, anytime, on any field, it helps a quarterback. And I really do think that's why Stafford has some consideration of being better than Jay, because he's lived life with Calvin Johnson. That's just my feelings. You know, I could be totally...
It makes a lot of sense. Jim, you're a quarterback.
Right.
Before you pick the winner, do you agree?
Yeah, I think he's careless with the football. I mean, you look at Matthew Stafford. Granted, he's thrown for a boatload of yardage. A lot of it is style and play calling, like Tom just mentioned with Trestman and Jay. But think about Scott Linehan and the plays that he called. I mean, that's why Calvin Johnson beat took over Jerry Rice's record. But look at that four-game stretch. Here's a team, Detroit, that had a two-game lead. And this guy was coughing up the football like a Pez dispenser when you look at Matthew Stafford. That's why Jim Schwartz got fired, why they brought in Jim Caldwell. They hired Joe Lombardi for the New Orleans Saints. Really, their big challenge is to get Matthew Stafford right, because all those turnovers in a four-game stretch really cost Detroit this season.
And, Jim, your big challenge is to pick a winner for this segment.
You know, I'm a little upset that Jeff from Oak Park, you know, he didn't use the bat phone, so he's in contempt. His phone wasn't working. So next time, Jeff, you got to call in and make it work. But I'm going to go with Scott from Milwaukee about the progression reads and what Tom broke down about the style of offense, and certainly what Trestman's bringing the table to take advantage of Jay Cutler's attributes.
So congratulations. We have a winner here on Ask Tom. When we come back, Shay McClellan, when are we going to find out if he truly is a linebacker? That's next with Tom Thayer, Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Join the Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's. Members have access to events, contests, and opportunities to meet Bears players, as well as chances to win Bears tickets. Sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. And I want to remind you that Bears All Access is now available as a podcast. Subscribe on the show page at chicagobears.com. Training camp starts a week from today for the Bears down in Bourbon A. Alongside former Bears Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. Happy to have you aboard. One of the biggest questions that needs to be answered heading into this season is if Shay McClellan can successfully make the transition to linebacker after a couple of subpar seasons playing up front on the defensive line. When are we going to know that he can do this?
I think you're going to have to see some reps against a different opponent, because you're going to become a little bit familiar with the offense you're seeing every day when they go against the Bears, and then it kind of catches you off guard, because also now you're playing a preseason game with very little preparation about what their offense does. Now you have to play on reaction responsibility and then huddle call. So I think for Bears fans, your real true indication is when you're going to go up there against a different opponent, that you don't have the luxury of having superior knowledge of what their tendencies are every down and distance.
And Jim, how complicated is it for a guy who never had to learn coverages as a professional player? Now, that's a big part of Shay McClellan's job.
Yeah, well, he's going to have to look at personnel groupings, splits of tight ends that we know are always walked outside the box. We've learned about 4 yards from the tackle, thanks to Jimmy Graham, right? So he may be walking out on guys like that.
I want to bring a point up about that.
Well, I just think from that standpoint, he's going to have to learn personnel grouping, sets, those type of things. I just think the major thing I want to see from Shay McClellan is not only the physical play, because as a strong side backer, what? You're strong side because you got to be able to hold up against the run. I want to see his instincts. I want to see him understand situations. I think we know the athleticism and he can fly to the football, but I want to see some smart football play. And you only do that is by knowing the situations, personnel groupings, and tendencies of your opponent. And we'll find that out through the preseason.
Well, too, the offensive coordinators are going to try to take advantage of Shay, too. If they're going to try to challenge his instincts with a little misdirection to see how well he's picking things up. Hey, when you talked about that Jimmy Graham thing that he's gone through with his contract and everything, the guy is being treated unfair is Eben Britton. Because here's a guy that played more reps as a tight end than he did as an offensive lineman. So if he goes back and negotiates a contract, Eben Britton has way more reps as a moving tight end H-back than as an offensive lineman.
He was a free agent during the offseason.
Right.
Ended up re-signing with the Bears, but he wasn't tagged. They did not use the franchise tag on him.
He's the hybrid. If Jimmy wants to get paid as a hybrid, so should Eben.
That's right. Semantics. This new CBA, what a challenge.
You heard us talking about Shea McClellan. If you guys want to go see Shea in person, you can during the portion where the Bears practice in Bourbonnais. Make plans to visit the Bears during training camp in Bourbonnais. Visit ChicagoBears.com for directions and camp details. And for all the questions you may have about what the Bears are doing down in Bourbonnais, we bring in the Bears Senior Director of Corporate Communications now, Scott Hagel. And before Scott explains to us all the nuances of training camp for you, the fan, Tom Thayer wanted me to ask you, Scott, on your jersey, does it have your last name or your title?
It'd be the last name for sure, right? Nobody wants their title on their jersey.
Well,
right?
You know,
Am I right?
If you're a coach, doesn't it say coach on the front of the jersey?
No, right? No, that doesn't work that way. Like, I think the only coaches that wear jerseys anymore is baseball, right?
You're right, full uniform.
I can't imagine it says manager on the back of their jersey.
Well, then I see we expect to see Scott Hagel out there in full pads next Friday.
No, there's a reason why we all have our roles, and there's certainly a reason why I've never been in pads.
We're visiting with the Bears Senior Director of Corporate Communications, Scott Hagel, here on Bears All Access. Training camp begins day one, is a week from today in Bourbonnais. When can the fans, Scott, begin to get involved?
So fans need to put on their calendar Friday, July 25th. So that's our first day of practices. And as you guys know well, the 25th and the 26th, Friday, Saturday, those are no pads, part of our CBA. So the guys won't be wearing pads in those practices, so they'll look a little more like what mini camp looks like. And then if you want to hear the first crack of those pads, that's Sunday, July 27th. You want to be there 9 a.m. to watch when those guys line up. Tom Thayer will be there. Ready to go, right, to analyze what's going on, talking about Shea McClellan like you guys were and everybody else who's getting ready to suit up and try to earn a job in training camp.
Of course, we're going to be there every day. But, Scott, what is the realistic time? How early should they get there before the gates open? How much time should they give them to get inside the campus where they can get parked comfortably with enough time so they can, you know, see a majority of the action that's going on?
Yeah, so our gates do open at 9, which does coincide with the start of practice, but practice has there's a stretch, there's a warm-up period. So really, if you want to make sure that you're there, you get there 8:30, between 8:30 and 9 to park. Parking's free, admittance is free, so that you can be in a bleacher spot or one of the nice grass seats, depending on which of the four fields we'll be practicing on. And, so as long as you're entering the gate somewhere in that 9 to 9:30 area, you get yourself settled in, you get to watch a good hour and a half of practice when things are fun. And hopefully you see the guys up close, listen to that coaching. I mean, it's really a unique experience in sports. No other sport has the opportunity for 3 weeks free entry to really see how the team is building its foundation to prepare for the regular season. And you can do that in Bourbonnais, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Scott. I can realistically say I go to all 32 teams, one of the best setups, if not the best setup, through all the National Football League, what the Bears have down there at Olivet Nazarene. You mentioned the main attraction is the team, Scott, and you're right, it's for free out there to go out and watch the guys practice, and maybe what other activities for the fans that are there? I know there's always the NFL experience, but what other great things do you have planned this year for training camp?
Yeah, we certainly try to do a lot. We know for some, especially our younger fans, your attention span might not span, an hour and a half to 2 hours. So we try to have a number of things there to keep people interested, especially for the younger kids. We've got a full kids interactive area with lots of the inflatable games that they can do. We've got our full pro shop down there. So if shopping's your thing and you want all the coolest Bears gear in one spot, we've got you covered on that front. We have Staley's Corner, our mascot's down there. Staley's one of the best in the league, and he's got music pumping and different games for kids to do as well, and a lot of different theme days based throughout our 3 weeks at camp. We've got our Vamos Bears Day on Saturday the 26th, Ladies Day, which our good friend Tom Thayer, I believe, will be hosting a post-practice seminar.
Correct.
On Wednesday the 30th. And a couple of days, we've got alumni coming down signing autographs. We have one of those on Sunday, July 27th. We'll have some alums down there. We've got an Armed Forces Day, which is on Monday, August 4th. A Youth Football Day on the 6th of August, where we're encouraging, all the youth football leagues from around the Chicagoland area, wear your jerseys, come on down. So we try to, again, keep it entertaining throughout for fans of all ages. And it's really cool because they come. We get kids in from the stroller size all the way up to, you know, some of our veteran fans who have been around us for a long time. And we appreciate that.
You know, Scott, practices usually go from 8:30 to 11:30. There are some different times, a couple. But you do have some refreshments, some food opportunities out there in the courtyard that's where behind the stands that the people are watching practice. There's an opportunity to get away from the heat or at least a refreshment in them during practice.
Sure. We got, you know, shade tents there. You've got, you know, water zones to keep people hydrated and that type of stuff. And again, we want to try to make, we'll have live music after certain practices. We've got radio remotes down there. We'll keep the camp open for about an hour after practice ends. I know a lot of fans like to try to get an autograph or so in that time. We've got radio remotes going on during that time. Again, the other interactive spaces. So, I get if from that 9 to the 11:30 practice ends, another hour till about 12:30. Again, if you want to grab lunch there, you can do so. So we're hoping a lot of people will come down, enjoy the elements of camp, and then maybe stay down in the area and check out some of the other things to do down in the Kankakee, Bradley, and Bourbonnais area.
Well, Scott, last one for me, and always a pleasure talking to you. We talk about it every year, really, how Olivet Nazarene has really rolled out the red carpet for the Chicago Bears. You know, just, and I mentioned it as probably the best training camp site of all 32 teams. Anything new this year in terms of logistics and just the amount of money that's been invested, obviously, for the Chicago Bears and how logistically it is challenging for you guys?
Well, again, if you've got to go away, you want to go to a place like Olivet. And the people there have done a wonderful job of tailoring their facilities to help meet the needs that we have to prepare for the regular season. I mean, this is a working trip for the guys that go down there. And it's a big deal these 3 weeks to get us ready for that opener against the Buffalo Bills. But they've made a lot of upgrades for the players this year. The locker room, the training rooms are all brand new. So the guys, I think, will be excited to see. They're going to have a little extra space down there. Over the years, we've got some new elevated bleachers, which we're excited about for our fans, which will create some more seating for fans to be able to watch. We've put those in the most desirable locations, kind of those midfield locations on fields 1 and 4, so that, again, it creates more seating opportunities. So each year they've upgraded our fields, I believe, are all brand new, regraded. So it's a top-notch facility. It allows us to get ready, and it really provides a fantastic environment for our fans to be a big part of it. And Jim and Tom, you guys know well, even the more people we get down there, it even raises the level of practice.
Yes.
Guys, when you've got fans there cheering and stuff, there is no doubt that the competition level goes up a notch. And it's funny, the apex for us is at Family Fest, at Soldier Field, but you know, last year I think we had a 10 or 12,000 fans at one of our Sunday practices, and that was an unbelievable practice session. And the fans certainly make a difference.
So make plans to visit the Bears during training camp in Bourbonnais. Visit ChicagoBears.com for directions and camp details. Our thanks to the Bears Vice President of Corporate Communications, Scott Hagel. Good stuff, Scott.
Thank you,
guys,
Scott.
We'll see you down there in a week.
Go Bears!
You got it, Scott. Good to talk to you. How can he put that title on the back of a jersey? Good luck meddling with that one.
When we come back, you know what I want to know is, you know, we see all these fancy gadgets that some of the players bring in. You guys have been in training camps throughout the years. Give me the weirdest training camp story that you have in terms of the stuff that people brought with them to have in their room. You know, Jim, you, Tom, you guys are minimalists, but a lot of your teammates were not. We'll discuss next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Register today, priceless.com/Chicago, for MasterCard's Priceless Chicago, a collection of amazing experiences available exclusively to MasterCard cardholders. Zach Zabin, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Next week, we will join you from Bourbonnais on Wednesday for the first training camp edition of this program. And the first day of camp is exactly a week from today. The first practice of camp is a week from tomorrow, and the first padded practice in Bourbonnais will be a week from Sunday. So a lot going on for the Bears down at their summer home in Bourbonnais. Now, Both Jim and Tom had an opportunity to spend many years at training camp, both in Platteville and Bourbonnais. And Jim was talking about it earlier. He just wanted whatever gear the Bears issued and the playbook, and he was consumed with those things once training camp started. But you see it every single year when the team reports. There are all these guys bringing in, you know, massive TVs, all these different gadgets, all these video games. Do you need that stuff? And who was notorious, Jim, during your days as a Bear for bringing in stuff that made you just scratch your head?
Well, first, I want to go back to my rookie year with the Steelers when I was drafted there out in Latrobe. I don't know what it is with these diva wide receivers. They brought a fish tank, a waterbed, Yancey Thigpen, and a couple of the guys that were there. Obviously, they wanted to save their legs, had to have a moped to go to the dining hall. I mean, just ridiculous amount of stuff. You had to have the big stereo system. And we never had air conditioning, so players would have to go out and buy their own air conditioners or rent them when I first arrived in the NFL. Our first year at Platteville, we never had. My first year at Platteville, I don't believe we had air conditioning, and we had to rent air conditioners. But a lot of high maintenance. A lot of guys are, especially the receivers, they're high maintenance, Tom. They always got to have all the good stuff.
They are the divas. But I remember going to training camp the first year, and Walter had a paintball gun, and he would have it in the dorm. And if you were trying to leave, because we had community bathrooms in Platteville, so if you were walking through the hallway trying to get some relief, and Walter was walking in the hallway with his paintball gun, and he would shoot you in the back or something. But, you know, you needed that kind of stuff to break the monotony. But I never realized how people had energy to do anything other than just practice. And, you know, I just went there. I was a minimalist, didn't bring anything, went there and just hoped I was healthy at the end of training camp.
Do you ever regret kind of, and you probably didn't do this, but there were certain guys, I mean, jobs are on the line. It's not true for everybody. You know, if you have these big guaranteed contracts today, you know your job's not on the line. But there are a lot of guys who are competing for an opportunity just to make the 53-man roster or a starting spot on the team. And, you know, if you pick on the wrong guy, do they just snap?
Yeah. I mean, everybody's very edgy, you know, because even if you think that you're going to make the team because you're a guaranteed guy, then you have no pride. You got to make it on your abilities and winning the position. And that was everybody's goal going to a training camp. You know, there was separation offense and defense, but again, it was just so difficult to try to accomplish. There wasn't anything pleasant about it. So when you sit there and go, oh, give me five of your most pleasant memories of training camp. Finishing, 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 and finishing. That was it. It wasn't a matter of, you know, trying to make new friends in Platteville. It was trying to keep your job at the end.
That pressure is always there. I don't know if it was like this for Tom, but every training camp I was ever at, easily, I'd say two or three guys left every training camp, just whether it's a college free agent or a player just said, I'm done. Football's not for me anymore. And some of them were starters. Remember, Sean Harris did it three times with the Bears. Remember the linebacker? That
right.
was twice.
Well, they had a defensive tackle last year that did it to the Bears.
Cedric Ellis.
Cedric Ellis, yeah.
Pressure gets to you, and you realize the NFL, it's not for everybody. And they realize, you know, this is not for me, not where I want to be at this particular point. And a lot of it is the pressure, how hard it is, all those type of things, because guys get caught up in numbers. Well, what if they keep this guy or keep an extra tight end or an extra? Don't get caught up in the numbers. Just worry about what you got to do, and everything will be all good at the end of the day.
Next week, we'll do it in Bourbonnais. Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller will be broadcasting from Bourbonnais as we preview Bears training camp 2014. For Herb Lawrence on the other side and a whole cast of thousands who helped us put this show together, thanks for listening. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.